This is K. Scott Allen of odeco.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from lazycoder.com.
Hi, this is John. We are in London at the Web Camps. We are just finishing up day two, and I'm talking to Clint Nelson. And Clint is here with Startup Weekend. And that's been one of the coolest things I've thought of this whole webcam system is Startup Weekend has been helping us with this day two project thing. And so, just thought it'd be cool to talk to you about, you know, what Startup Weekend is and, you know, a little bit of the history and what you guys are up to.
Yeah. Thanks for having me here. So I guess just kind of a brief overview for anyone that's not familiar with what Startup Weekend is. We typically bring together marketing people, business development folks, graphic designers, and developers, as well as angel investors and even students. Bring them together from a Friday until a Sunday, so for 54 hours. On Friday, they pitch ideas. Then we crowdsource the best ideas from that group. So for a group of 100 people, we might hear 50 pitches, of which maybe the top 15 would be chosen. And we would rapidly prototype those 15 ideas from Saturday morning until Sunday evening and demo what was built on Sunday evening. So that's kind of the format that we've been trying to plug into the day two of the web camps, which has been really fun to see here in London. And a couple other guys got a chance to fly a few other places and help out with those as well. So it's been a good experience so far. Looking forward to the demos.
Yes, I am too. I noticed one thing that we're doing. There are several things that are a little different for web camps, partly because it's, you know, we do one day of training and one day to build an entire project, and so there's not a whole lot of time to do things. But also at this, we give the kind of loophole where we say, even if your project didn't win the voting, you can go ahead and build it if you want. And, you know, sometimes we'll have these little subversive splinter groups that will break off and just build something, and they've managed to, you know, do pretty well. Do you do that with Startup Weekend, or is it pretty rigid as far as if only the 15 winning?
It's really anyone that forms that whole process is just an effort to form groups in the first place. And so any even individual that feels inspired to work on a project, they're more than welcome to work on a project as an individual, or if they can get support from one or as many other people as are interested in whatever project that they have proposed. There's no rules on, oh, your idea wasn't voted in the top 10%, therefore we kill it. It's truly just that whole format it's not a perfect process, but it's the best one that we've developed so far to get a group of, say, 100 strangers, then broken into roughly 15 teams or so from not knowing each other in the first place. So it's just kind of a rough cut at team formation and see what gels.
Okay. And you've been doing these worldwide then. So you were telling me a little bit about your travel schedule lately. It's insane.
It's pretty fun. I've been in Europe for 2 months on this bender. And right now, Startup Weekend is in 89 cities spanning 25 countries and growing. So Startup Weekend's been around for 3 years, but in the last, year, maybe even 6 months, we've done probably 60% of what we've historically done. So growing a lot, and our goal is to make it where cities that we're coming into, that it's a sustainable event happening on a predictable timetable. So the goal is twice a year in most cities, and places like San Francisco, maybe as much as four times a year, where there's a really big community and more people that want to experience it. So.
Okay. And how many people are involved in Startup Weekend? Like, I know there's a small staff and like full-time staff, and then there's a lot of other, like, I don't know, what we were calling them, splinter
ninjas.
Cells. Yeah.
So we have a staff of three partners, which is Mark Nager, Frank Noriagat, and myself, Clint Nelson. And from there, we have probably 15 or 20 facilitators, and these are guys that live in cities around the world and will fly to any city that we send them a plane ticket to at the drop of a hat to help organize and execute any one of these events. So they're just passionate entrepreneurs that startup junkies like ourselves that also love to travel and meet entrepreneurs doing cool things in different cities. So it helps us do a lot more than what three guys could do in a given day. Definitely, we really rely on those guys. So
okay, and then like I've seen what you do when you're at the startup weekend as far as facilitating things. And then what's your, when you're not actually doing a startup weekend, I'm sure there's a lot of like just organizational things to put things together, get venues and all that.
Yes. Looking for venues and sponsor support and answering emails a lot. But then from there, we're working on growing the organization too. And so trying to put the structure in place to provide incubation to teams that want it going forward. So we're starting to lay tracks with that, form partnerships with different incubators in different cities so that a team that is really onto a good idea and maybe just needs limited capital to have control of their time to be able to continue to drive forward, that we could provide, say, $20,000 for them to keep working for 3 months. So that's kind of the next phase. We want to continue to evolve and provide more support to the entrepreneurs and startups that we're coming in contact with if they so choose and find value in that. So
great. Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about what sort of applications you're seeing people develop and also what sort of technologies you're seeing are most common?
Sure. So it's a lot of mobile is really hot. Location-based things are really hot. Twitter. It's amazing how with all the different cities that I'm going to, there's strong common themes that are emerging with, I think everyone at this point is stopping to pitch more social networking sites. I think everyone's kind of hit the threshold of enough social networks out there and actually wanting to consolidate with OpenID kind of stuff. So lots of iPhone apps, iPad apps were starting to be released before the iPad was even out. But developers all across from Microsoft platform to Ruby, I mean, really everything kind of, as you would expect with the platforms that are out there that people are able to monetize, like Apple, for example, that has a huge following. And I think developers target iPhones due to the large market that has them. So
right. So since it's startup focused, people are looking at something they could actually
that has
monetize.
A market. Exactly. Yeah. But that's even becoming a challenge with so many apps being on the iPhone now that we get feedback from a lot of developers that they feel really frustrated. It's like throwing a penny into the ocean kind of thing. It's really hard for anyone to even find their iPhone app that they spend time coding. So,
you know, one possibility, and things are up in the air and it's not out there yet, but the whole idea of the Windows Phone 7 coming out is, you know, a new market and potentially a less saturated, I mean, at least initially a lot less saturated. I wonder, have you seen any Windows Phone applications that people are starting to build or thinking about?
I've seen that at the Microsoft or Startup Weekend in Redmond that we did. Yeah, generally when we're working with the Microsoft crew, they, you know, will ping their list of developers and things like that. And so then we get more guys there that are thinking about and familiar with the Microsoft stack, which is what we want. Ideally, it'd be nice to have a mix of developers from all walks of life kind of mixing with each other and critiquing different technologies that are available and really making it better. But I think events like this one, I'm actually kind of envious. It's really nice to have a large group of people that are all familiar with a common technology. It sets the stage for a lot of work to be done quickly and not so much ramp up of. Oftentimes, our developers are, you know, they haven't even decided what platform they're going to develop on. And so people are installing things on their computer to get ready to develop, so which can take hours in some cases.
Right, right.
So it's a huge time savings, and it's powerful to have that common ground between developers. So,
Can you tell me about any kind of like success stories as far as, you know, projects or applications or just interesting applications you've seen people build?
Sure. So we've had TwitPay was an interesting team. They raised $1 million about 2 months ago. Food Spotting was actually a startup weekend company and was a featured startup in the Microsoft BizSpark One program at South by Southwest. And I think about a week ago, they sent out a release that they're looking to hire 5 guys full-time in addition to the people that are already working. So I think just the payroll of 5 guys for that one startup probably exceeds our operating budget for a year.
Right.
So hitting good metrics there with startups coming out and a lot of founders meeting co-founders that oftentimes work on other projects unrelated to the weekend after they've had the chance to see the other sling some code over the weekend and really get a flavor for where their talents lie and start to establish relationships with those people, which is our number one goal, is to kind of build community and talk about new cool projects and introduce founders to co-founders and hopefully see some new cool startups come out of that. But that's kind of a secondary objective to the community building and relationships that are made, which is probably the most powerful component. But with that said, I think it's still like just under a 5% funding ratio, which isn't bad at all for people that met on a Friday and had something developed on Sunday to be making that kind of progress is really exciting. So hopefully with a few more layers of support, if we're able to provide space, for example, to teams in cities. Say a promising team comes out of Dublin and they're willing to take up office space. If we can provide it, that's kind of our next goal, is to keep that momentum going. So
cool.
I think that's probably the most inspiring part, is people are really blown away by what is truly possible in such a short amount of time with a talented group of people. You can really tackle some fairly big problems and get a lot of progress made on various startups and projects. So that's cool.
So you were talking about community, and I think it's cool and interesting that you've been working with the Microsoft community. I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about how that got started. And then also, one thing we've talked about on this podcast before is just kind of that you don't see a lot of startups running on Microsoft, and in the Microsoft community, you don't see a lot of startup thinking. So I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that in general. I just asked you 2 questions. So
yeah, so how it started with Microsoft, Microsoft has been a sponsor of Startup Weekend since almost the beginning. And so when I took over in 2009 with Mark Nager, we had some existing contacts to kind of work off of, and it's been great to have the support. So a lot of providing venue space is a major hurdle to be crossed in every city whenever we're looking to plan a new event, and Microsoft has hosted us from Redmond to Lithuania to everywhere in between. So in Chicago, we're at the Boston Nerd facility right now as we speak. So it's really great to have their support and willingness to kind of support the grassroots startup community that we represent. It's really fun to see some of the bigger sponsors, some of the bigger players like Microsoft, Google, Adobe, IBM supporting our pretty small organization to see it happen and spread. I think everyone that is a part of it realizes that it's a pretty cool initiative and a cool thing to be part of, and it's we couldn't be more grateful for the support that we receive from all those people. As far as Microsoft startups, I think that there's a lot of them, actually. I mean, BizSpark is kind of a testament to that with, I think, like 30,000 or something like that startups. But I think the real challenge is just getting people familiar with a given technology, and that's kind of the piece that I think that I'm seeing you guys address now, where it's educating more people on how to use the technology. Because for a lot of people, it's makes no difference whether they're using Microsoft technology or Ruby technology. It's just what features can I build that's valuable to consumers in the least amount of time for the lowest cost. And so I think any time that a company starts to make progress to teach and to make people familiar with that technology and to digest their feedback of why are they not using it and what makes other platforms better, that then that's kind of the key to having more people use a given technology to launch new startups. So I think you guys are making great progress in that regard, which is cool to see.
Cool. Okay. So we're actually, we have about 10 minutes until we're going to do our final presentations of what people have been working on. So we should wrap up soon, but I just wondered if you had any last thoughts or anything else you wanted to plug or anything, any upcoming events?
That's pretty much touches on all of it. We have, I guess Global Entrepreneurship Week in November is the next big, initiative on my radar where we're planning 30 different events on one weekend. So
no sweat.
We'll probably hopefully be at Microsoft facilities near you.
Okay. Well, thanks a bunch.
Cheers. Thank you.